This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
We give you praise. We give you glory. We exalt your name. We ask that you grant us another level of access into your presence, that will guarantee that we'll possess our possessions in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. I discovered that a lot of feedback began to come up after the interview we had with the sister. I don't even remember her name anymore. Where is the sister? All right, what's your name? Iverin. All right, so we had an interview with her, and so many people online began to identify with what you were saying, and it was all over the internet. Jesus Christ. And so we, because of the feedback, we want to spend some time addressing some of those issues that were raised before we make progress. We have not yet started teaching how to fight. I'm just showing us the domains of warfare. All right? So, before we start talking about the weapons at our disposal and how to engage the weapons. All right? How to engage the weapons. We were doing something yesterday, and during the course of the service, the hand of God came into the assembly, and there were a lot of people online that were slain. And that time I had a prophetic word. There was a stirring in my spirit to give prophetic words to those people, even though there's no stirring now anyway. Pastor Philip, if you can create the platform for us to interact with the people that God touched yesterday, maybe the stirring will be restored and the work that the Lord started will be accomplished. The only omission we had yesterday was to spend some time dealing with the symptoms of famine that may have found expression in the life of individual members of the congregation. As we wait for the technical crew to come up with the brethren that came under the power of God in the electronic room, we will attempt to commence a little teaching, which is based on spiritual warfare in the domain of the family. Spiritual warfare in the domain of the family. Turn your Bible to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, beginning from verse number 15. I am not intending to conclude this teaching. The moment we get the people into the electronic room, we'll begin to interview them, and we'll continue with practicals. Genesis chapter 2, beginning from verse 15. We're trying to look at the context of the family, and also to see the devil's interest in family and how we can stop Satan from achieving his objective. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Verse number 18. And the Lord said, the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make for him and help meet for him." Now you will notice that the moment God began to speak about the purpose of the man, the second thing that the Lord raised was the support of that man, and this was the premise upon which the marriage institution was established. The idea is that he has a purpose that he has given the man to accomplish, and he raises a helper. In fact, are you there? The first name that was given to a wife is not wife. The first name that was given to a wife is helpmeet. And the reason why it is called helpmeet, which means a suitable help that is required for the assignment that God has given to the man. All right? So the concept of a woman in this arrangement is help, and what the woman is saddled with the capacity to do is to provide help for the assignment that God has given the man. So that's the idea, right? It was also interesting to know, sadly, many women don't like me saying this one. It was interesting to know, sadly, that even though God had purpose in view and he made the woman available to assist the man to accomplish purpose, this man still failed. But the reason why the man still failed was because this woman here, which is Eve, had seven deficiencies. There were seven deficiencies that she had. But you see, I'm not going there. That's not where I'm going. The subject is spiritual warfare. Now, because the purpose of this corporate synergy, this corporate alignment between man and woman, because the purpose, the objective is the calling, is the assignment, 90% of the warfare that we see within the context of the family unit is designed to attack the assignment. Are you with me? Now, there is a science. You can actually study. You can study the pattern of Satan's assault on your family life. You can study it. It's a pattern. It's an intelligent pattern. And you will find out that the object of the attacks in the family system is the reason for which God set up family in the first place, which is God's ordination. And God's ordination is so big, is so bogus, is so ambitious, that only one man cannot accomplish it. The only reason for which lifelong partnerships can be established is because of the achievement, the accomplishment of the agenda that is sustained on the heart of God. Now, the man that led prayer now, Apostle Donatus, we have been together for more than, for how long? Now, the only thing that can make an able-bodied man like this, full of the kind of fire you saw, to be aligned with another man, and indeed with other people, consistently for a lifetime, is something that is bigger than all of us, which is the purpose of God. The reason why God, Satan, will want to attack my relationship with Donatus is because of that purpose that binds us together. So just like I said, there is a science behind the attempts of the devil. And if you are careful, you'll be able to see the rhythm of his attempts and make a pattern, draw a pattern out of it. This pattern is supposed to equip you with the wisdom that you need to counteract every card that Satan plays. Do not forget that the binding factor, even the body of Christ, we're supposed to operate as a corporate unit. The only thing that can bind us together is that our vision for the kingdom of God is steadfast. Because the moment somebody is doing ministry for the purpose of flesh, for the purpose of ambition, for the purpose of self profit, once that is the case, the ground of the unity of the faith no longer exists. We already have a fragmented system. And in days like these, that are days of elections where we need to come together to have one voice in order to have a block perspective as to the candidate that suits our convictions, you will find so many fault lines. And the reasons why you will find fault lines is because fundamentally we are not functioning in synergy. That divine agenda that is supposed to be the pivot, the centrality of our connection and alignment, is not in its proper place. And as long as that vision is not in its proper place, in order to achieve the unity of the faith, it's impossible to achieve it. So even if we are discussing on one issue, maybe politics, we do not have the same perspective because we are not seeing from the same vista. Some people are seeing, okay, the kingdom of God and that which will bring profit to the kingdom of God, that which will make our nation suitable so that our nation can enter into prophetic destiny. Right? Some others are seeing something different. They're actually saying that, okay, my tribe is not even featured in any of the candidates. That guy is in another world. So, in order for us to, it becomes more and more impossible for us to muster our numerical strength towards an objective because we have so many fault lines that are dissociated from God's central emphasis. You see, when God created the woman, and the thing about a corporate system, and what I mean by a corporate system is something that is not individualistic. You see, you know, there was a way you survived as a single. You know, you were strong, you survived. All of the strengths you developed as a single are weaknesses in a corporate system. As a single, I was a very focused person. My focus was my weakness. Because, for instance, when I'm reading, studying my books, I won't sleep. So some people discovered that I was not using my bed. So in the night, they go and pass time there, they sleep off. So someone was actually, in his mind now, my room was his room because he had access to my beddings in the night. Right? So I had a time that I read my books. And I also had a time for prayer. And when the prayer time comes, I stop reading. I go for my prayer. I fulfill that time. Except the Holy Spirit moves me spontaneously beyond the time. I will come back to the books. And I will read till the break of day. So I had that discipline. Are you with me? It is possible for me to come into marriage with that discipline. And I say, okay, this is the objective that we need to accomplish. And I forget about the fact that it's not corporate. That's your strength that you developed as an individual, that saw you through, that you were proud of, is a weakness in the corporate arrangement. And it doesn't matter how many books you read, because I know some of you are studious. You have read Tim LaHaye, you have read all kinds of stuff, and then you believe that because you have read books, you can pilot a corporate affair, you will be disappointed. You will be disappointed that the things that you are handling, the specificity of your own arrangement, was not anticipated in Tim LaHaye's book that you read. Your case, are you there? Just like treatment, if doctors that are in our midst can be sincere, they will tell you that the effect of a drug on two different people is different. Treatment is idiosyncratic, is particular to you. That's how your own model for marriage is going to be very particular to you. And you will discover that even though you have read so many books, you will need to create your own book that will work in your own system because it is a corporate arrangement. The reason for which God combined this corporate energy to achieve his agenda is because there is a permutation in the Bible. And that permutation says that one shall chase 1,000 and two shall put 10,000 to flight. You see, at one side of the equation, it's arithmetic. 1 + 1 = 2. At the other side of the equation, it is geometric. It means that if alignment is achieved between these two individuals, the output is supposed to be geometric. And are you still there? Now, this geometric possibility was what Saul did not understand when they went out to battle and came back from the battle. The women in the city began to cry that Saul killed his... This class is weak. Let's try again. Saul killed his 1,000 and David killed his... What was actually happening in that scripture was that Saul, the capacity of Saul was actually 1,000. And the capacity of David was 1,000. But it was their combined capacity that produced the 10,000 that was attributed to David. Because two shall put what? But you see, because Saul could not appreciate that it was corporate output, he became envious of David. Meanwhile, David was set in the arrangement to complete him. And the multiplier effect was proof that there were two functional people in the corporate arrangement that was responsible for the exponential output. Are you still there? All right, so Satan, when he shows up, one of the things he wants to do is he knows the potential of that corporate arrangement. Now, all this teaching I'm doing, I'm waiting for the teaching will end as soon as we get those brethren in the room. May God help us in Jesus' name. Satan knows that there's a potential there. And the potential is a corporate potential. So he has many ways of diminishing the output. And I'd like you to be attentive. He has so many ways. If it is true that your 1,000 is in place and your wife's 1,000 is in place, we should see exponential effect. The exponential effect of our corporate partnership is what Satan is afraid of. He cannot predict it. Are you there? He can't predict what you and your wife will produce. He can't predict what you and your wife will produce. He can't predict what me and my wife will produce. Because on our wedding day, you had to see how lean I was from dry fasting. The suit was from London. They bought the suit from London, okay? And I told them my size. But before the suit got here, I was already down from fasting. This was how I was in this. In fact, my mission now is to destroy all my old pictures. Because I saw one, I was like a clown. I said, Jesus! Hallelujah. Now, so if you If you have seen me on my wedding day with my white suit, seeing how lean I was, and then my wife too was very lean. If you had seen us, you will not imagine that any good thing can come out of this combination. Because your estimation will be according to what you have seen. It was when God helped us after a few years to synergize. God helped us after a few years to form a true corporate quorum. What began to come? Oh my God. I have a lot of stories, but the reason why I want to escape is because I don't want to tell stories. Too many stories. When the alignment began to take place, and it will interest you to know that the moment you get married, don't expect a bed of roses. You are going to see that aspect of the person's strength that has helped the person survive singleness. That raw aspect of the person's existence is going to look you in the face. If the person got by through his strong will, all right? Just like me, I can say, I will not sleep. Not that I'm doing any serious, you know, but I've said it. So we are in the category of strong will people. You will not know I'm strong will until there's a fight. We don't retreat, oh. We don't surrender. It is, oh my Jesus Christ. So you used to survive with your strong will. And then you now get married, you now discover that the more you are pressing that your strength, the more you are destroying the arrangement. You see, the reason why God set us up by putting us into marriage is so that he can deal with the energy of the flesh that has accumulated, that is now becoming our secret. We are living off it. We are getting ahead with it. Alright? So he wants to puncture that strength and conduct a surgery that will remove that human power. So marriage is a good day-to-day barometer that gives you an up-to-date measurement of how useful you are in the corporate context. And it happens to be that the body of Christ is a corporate context. So the way you relate with your wife will give you an insight into how profitable you can be to the body of Christ. To give you an insight. So if by... Are you there? Are you with me? Do you realize that one of the qualifications for eldership in scripture is that he's a husband of one wife and such a man that has been able to bring his children under the gravity of the authority of God? Why is it that God considers household as a reflection of the true potency of your ministry? Do you know why I say husband of one wife? That's an elder now. Because anybody that has married two wives, he should have about 8 children. If he's so disciplined to have just 4 women from each of the wives. So such a man is not allowed to be a leader in the church. You know why? He already has a church in his house. There's a functional assembly. There's a functional assembly in his house. So let him pastor that assembly. In fact, is there not the same burdens that a pastor will face? He already has it in his inner circle. So let him be the pastor of that congregation. It's enough work. So if by any means you are not doing pastoral work at the expense of the synergy in your own household, you should be put on hold. Your ministry should be put on hold, so that you can go back home and fix what is lacking in your family. Because your ministry to the body of Christ, your family and how you have managed it is a reflection of how much impact you can have on what? The body of Christ. From any angle you look at my wife, she's happy. Even look, when the sun is high, look at her face. You will know this one is a happy woman. That is a sign that her husband has labored. Aiko Salima Kando Umesi Akude. No, you see. Are you there? The way I can bless you is first revealed by the way I have blessed her. If you want to know whether I'm an intercessor, check her life. It took deliberate influence. You know what leadership is? The ability to influence people. It is when you go into real leadership, you discover that influencing people is not by shouting on them. It requires a lot of wisdom to influence people the right way. And in fact, the height of leadership is when you are influencing people and they don't even know. Their life is just falling into line, just falling into place. They are not seeing the energy that is driving them, but they are just coming into alignment. It is the height of leadership. That means there is so much grace available. The devil knows the potential that you have as a corporate entity. And in fact, it's one of those potentials that he cannot predict. So many things can become the outcome of your marriage. It is in that environment that godly seed can be raised unto God. For many years, my children didn't have a room. The reason is because before I come back from a journey, my wife would have adopted somebody and say, "You are one of us. Come, pack your things, stay in our house." And when I come and see the new person, I won't ask my wife. No, she knows our calling. Our calling is to disciple as many as we can at close range. So if in her own judgment, she believes that someone should be part of the fold, she can make that arrangement even without my notice. And when I come back, I ask the person, "What's your name?" So, okay, your name is... And then life goes on. All right, so that's part of our assignment. That's what I'm saying. Don't read a book and form your marriage. All right? Your model should evolve from intelligence from above. So what we are running as a family, the model we are running as a family, some people might see it and say, "Hey, we are private people." I know that's you, but this is my own model. I told many people, "Don't visit my house." Many big preachers, "Don't visit my house, because when you come, you'll be disappointed." I warned them not to come. And some of them insisted that they will come to my house. And then they saw so many people and say, "How do you survive? Is it in this environment you get this revelation?" Don't worry, it works for me. It works for me. That's the model the Lord gave us. And you are going to design your model is going to evolve. Sometimes the reason why God brought two of you together is to form a priesthood of intercessors. It's about intercession. And initially, when you people start, you are going to have so many pressures that will push you to the altar. There is no other way you will find respite until you get yourself to the altar. That is an indication of the fact that God has designed your pathway in such a way that you cannot but pray. Do you understand that? Somewhere along the line, you'll find your model, as we found our model. Now, I traveled, came back, saw someone in the house, and I knew my wife brought the person in. We didn't discuss how, why, because we understand our model. Do you understand that? I said, "Do you understand that?" Now, you see, it is because I am with her that we can set up that administration. And the reason why we are doing that to the people that are in our space today is because we are called to do that. It's part of the reason why God brought us together. And at some point, the devil will begin to realize the potential that is available because there's a corporate arrangement that is synergized. It's on the strength of this that most of our warfares will be predicated. Are you still with me? There is an assignment in view that implicates both of you. And you start doing well to know what the assignment is, because the assignment is going to come under attack. The attack you are experiencing is not because of you. The attack you are experiencing is because of your potential. The attack you are experiencing is because of the assignment. Is that clear? So it's very difficult to explain attacks within the context of marriage, because it is striking at something deeper than just both of you. Very difficult. You will need a lot of discernment to be able to uncover the schemes of the devil in this context. And it will surprise you to know that the marriage context or the family context is one of the most powerful grounds. What I mean by powerful grounds is that if by any means the devil gets a stronghold in that family, he has already infected all the children that come out of that arrangement. If the devil is not able to infect the children, then it means that God has an inheritance in the earth with which he will continue his agenda. It's a very powerful platform, and we must understand how to fight for that space. You will notice that the moment Adam and Eve were set up in that garden, the spirit realm became interested in them. How do I know this? In the book of Genesis chapter 2, you will find God educating Adam even before his wife showed up. So God had his own opportunity to come, advertise his policies to Adam, advertise his commandments to Adam, and the things that Adam should never do that will preserve his ecosystem. The moment Eve was brought into being, in the book of Genesis chapter 3, we see Satan also coming to make his own proposal, to show them his own agenda, and to make them believe what he had to offer was superior to that which God had to offer. Once upon a time, I was to preach in a wedding, and the message that came to me was the scenario of Genesis. It was a big, big wedding. One of the weddings we have had that had so many influential people in this, our own ecosystem, on ground, available. And that message, hallelujah. I prayed to God and I begged him to change the message. There were so many dignitaries there. If I finished preaching that message, one or two of them lectured me while I was in the university, they would feel that I had seized the opportunity to talk to them. So I asked the Lord, can we change this message? And he refused to change the message, so I just showed up there. And I began to speak about the Garden of Eden. I gave an insight into the topography of the garden. How that the garden was somewhat of an embassy. It was a part of heaven that was manifested on the face of the earth. Right? Are you there? Because you will notice that it's through the garden that God now comes to visit with man. You visit him in the garden, not any other place in the earth. He does that without a visa. He does that without permission. Because that garden was a part of heaven that was upon the face of the earth. And you will know that archaeologists have made attempts to find where Eden was. And they are still trying to find out. And I'm not sure they will succeed until Jesus comes back. Because it's an environment, not a location. If you understand what I mean. So I described how Eden was. Then I showed how Adam was put into that context. Adam was created outside of Eden. But just like your fish, we need water to survive. And God put the fish in water. Your plants will need soil to survive. He put the plants in the soil. And Adam will need Eden to survive. So he created Adam outside of Eden. And then he put him inside of what? Eden. Are you there? And this Eden we're talking about was shaped like a temple. Temple because, I hope you know, the idea of a temple is a shrine. A place where the physical realm meets with the invisible realm. And the physical realm can interact with the invisible realm. The physical beings can interact with spiritual beings. Do you get that? That was the idea of Eden. Because God, who is a spiritual being, can step into supposedly physical location and commune with Adam. You know, at this point, the story was becoming sweet. So the lecturers were becoming comfortable. They didn't know. All right, so that was the arrangement. So the man was like a guardian. Or for those of you that like football, like soccer, he was like a linesman. And part of his assignment in guardianship was to ensure that it is only God he allows into his territory. That no other being will pass into the territory. You know, the linesman, you know, he doesn't allow football play outside of the field of play. But unfortunately for Adam, Satan entered into his face without his knowledge and possessed a serpent. He was not aware of it. That was where I told the couple that you have built a wonderful garden, because the young man had a bow tie and was smiling from here to here. And the young lady had a glowing, what do they call it? Wedding gown, just glowing like that, just glowing all the way. Hallelujah. So I came to them and said, you know what? Satan is going to come into your garden. That's why my message changed. Satan. Because anytime you build the garden of marriage, Satan wants to master it. And the reason why he wants to master it is to occasion a shortfall so that your geometric potential will never be realized. And as long as your geometric potential is not realized, you are not a threat. You are not a corporate threat. He has sent you on an errand. Now you people are trying to solve problems, no longer to fulfill destiny. So he gives you problems to solve. Just like the math teachers those days will give us sums. We take it home and you can't rest. You can't sleep well because there are sums you must solve. I don't know whether you got sums those days, but so many sums. And if my mother comes and sees that you have not attended to the sums. There are two things we know our mother, my mother for potent slap. They slaps at some angles. And we also know her for injections. If she touches here like this with a thermometer and the temperature has risen. She's much older now, almost 80 years old. And so gentle. I can't imagine that she was the one. That was so powerful those days. So gentle. If I come, she will hug me and say, oh, my son. Is this my mother? She was the one that forced us to study the Bible. So if you are seeing that your pastor has a handle on the Bible, I think that woman should be trained. Meanwhile, she was the one that came from a Muslim family, got converted to become a Christian, became more zealous than my father, who was from a traditional Christian background. We are burning for God today because of that woman. Are you there? So Psalms, they give us Psalms. That's what the devil wants to give you. So you are running around to solve the Psalms, and you don't know that you're already in warfare. It's Satan that has seen your potential and your corporate geometric output, and he has given you a sum. May your eyes be open. Amen. Not to run errands for Satan. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Let me show you the first outline. These guys coming up. Is it that they are enjoying the sermon so they cannot... Oh, they have come. All right, so it is at this point we might bring this sermon to a close. But before I bring it to a close, let me push you small. All right, go to the book of Genesis chapter 3. Let me show you the first thing that he does. And the first thing you must begin to fight. Pastor Dan, I don't know about you, but I have seen that the crisis that happens between me and my wife, when I analyze it, it is Satan. It is Satan. You will need to die to the flesh a little more to be able to live in harmony. So you might call me a big man on the pulpit. I'm not a big man at home. I'm looking for an environment, an ecosystem that God's grace can flow through like a conductor. And if that is going to happen, then a lot of the flesh will have to be cut off. Now, and when you hear preachers make statements like, I've never had any misunderstanding with my wife, you know, it's been 30 years, leave that church. Leave. Just don't worry. Just leave. That. We are tired of lies. It will interest you to know that I consider myself a very gentle man. But the gentility that I have naturally was not sufficient. All right? Another gentleman that I've seen is my neighbor, Rojojo. He's a gentleman. But I don't want to interview you today. You will just find out that you will need more than gentility. Okay, Rojojo, come. Give him the microphone. Give him. It's a very gentleman. It's my neighbor. Please, arm him with the microphone. He will never stand here except I do this. So let him come up. Let him come up. Hallelujah. So it's my neighbor. It's a very gentleman. And you must have seen him in the fellowship. Straightforward. He's not a troublemaker. So I see you are a gentleman. So can you tell us how you survived in marriage? The currency of this gentility that we see, is that the passcode that makes you navigate in marriage? Just give us a summary. It's my neighbor. Praise God. It's my neighbor, it's my friend.
I don't even know where to start. I'm a cheap man. And we all know the culture of the thieves.
Now, the people out there don't know who a thief man is. So, I don't know. You explain it in such a way that they'll be able to follow.
Okay, I'm from Benue State.
Uh-huh.
And the thief people are part of Benue.
Okay.
And traditionally, there is that belief that the woman must always take authorities from the husband.
Mm.
There is that pride that operates in the man as a thief man.
As a thief man.
The grace, or would I say, the opportunity I had that made me travel to Maiduguri to spend part of my life change my thinking, my thoughts.
For your information, Maiduguri is part of northern Nigeria. It's currently where Boko Haram has her neck. And I think his mom is from there, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, so his mom is from there. So he took a trip to his mom's place and saw life from a different vista. That's what he said.
So the peer group I had there, where I was brought up, made me to understand that it is not all about you taking, being a boss. The woman always taking orders from you. The two of you have to come together to operate as one. And the thinking of, I am a thief man, so I should exercise those powers because I'm a thief man, left my imagination.
Amen.
I was not thinking in that line again. So even when I came back and those things were in me already, there was no way I could start visiting them back again. So it helped me
a lot
to have a better progression in marriage.
All right. So salute my neighbor, my friend. Now listen, The way you come into marriage is not the way you are going to stay in it. You are going to experience transformation. And this transformation is going to be occasioned by many experiences, many situations, and it's going to renew your mind until you begin to see your partner as part of yourself. And then a new kind of civilization is formed. And in that civilization, so many things can hang on it. So many lives can hang on it. And it's a fulcrum for many things that will happen in society and happen in the body of Christ. Genesis chapter 3. Let us see how the serpent entered into Adam's family. How the serpent entered into Adam's family. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? First of all, we have a summary of the potential of the serpent. That in terms of subtlety, it was highest in that ability. So when God made every creature, there was a compoundment of the ability of subtlety that was the wisdom behind the making of the serpent. All right? And so when Satan entered into this ecosystem as a spirit being, he wanted to accomplish an agenda. And the agenda he wanted to accomplish was going to be aided by the superfluity of Satan's makeup, which is captured in subtlety. Do you get it now? So he possessed the serpent. He applied his spiritual dimensions to the potentials of the serpent. And then he was able to gain the advantage, multiplied advantage of the subtlety bias that the serpent had. It was a good platform for him to launch an attack on the family of Adam. First and foremost, we need the dictionary definition of subtlety. Pastor Dan, please help me with the dictionary. We need a very ancient dictionary like the Webster, those types. Because the current dictionary, the definition of marriage, is not what we believe. I know you understand what I'm talking about. So we normally reach back to the Webster's, the Collins dictionaries that captures definitions that are along the lines of our persuasion. Okay? Yes. So what do we have from Pastor Dan?
From Webster.
Webster's dictionary.
Subtlety is the quality or state of being subtle.
I don't like this kind of... You have no, what kind of dictionary is this now? Why is you still using the word that we are trying to unravel?
Okay, so let me look at subtle now.
Okay, subtle.
It has several meanings. One is delicate.
Delicate. No.
Elusive.
Elusive. Hey! You got it. Elusive. But you see, elusive is already big English for my congregation.
One is difficult to understand or perceive.
Exactly. So difficult to understand. So the devil decided to warehouse himself in the body of the serpent because the serpent was the highest in the molecules of subtlety because he needed that subtlety edge to accomplish his intention. When he possessed the serpent, he brought in spiritual dimensions into the serpent. So the subtlety angle was spiritualized. Do you get it? Just like when someone is possessed of devils. I mean really possessed of devils. If the person was an intellectual, he had sown a lot of knowledge in the soil of his mind, you will find out that the expression of the demonic possession will be coming through the mind. It depends on the ability that has been exercised the most. You get that? So, he had the full potential of subtlety in his hands. And according to Webster's, it is difficult to understand where he's going. He's elusive. You can't trap him. So when he came into the garden, he was so innocent looking, and his expressions were so innocent that you could not know where what he was driving at. That's subtlety at work. Do you understand that? Now the devil, before he visits any home, hides his identity, hides his intentions. He hides behind people. If you are not deep in the spirit to be able to discern that he has hidden behind someone, is the one talking, is not the person talking, you might jab the person. And the moment you jab the person, he will disconnect from the person. And it will be just you and the person. But he has, are you there? May the Lord give you understanding. So Alphonsus, Pastor Alphonsus, when you raise your hand and you want to jab, talk to that hand, say, I'm looking for Satan, not my wife. Just. Let me give you advice, all men here. You will not achieve so much jabbing because you'll be striking at the wrong person. Satan covers himself with subtlety so that he is very elusive. You cannot even figure out where he's coming from, where he's attempting to go. So you need to be very discerning to fight wars in the family. Lest you be fighting the wrong person, you send the wrong person out, you push the wrong person out of the place, you throw the person's luggage outside and say, never come back again. It's when you have accomplished that, you now ask yourself, by what energy did I? So the devil, knowing your potential, wants to make you come to a point where you use your ability against your wife, and she uses her ability against you, instead of you people to team up and use your abilities against. So he intends to give you a sum, like a mathematical sum, homework to do. And you will need to be very discerning. For you, when you are angry, convert it to a song. Because I assure you, the anger level will reach here. Just convert. I even went and bought guitar. Welcome. I bought guitar. I bought flute from Israel. I bought a horn from Israel. All this equipment. Is to diffuse tension. Diffuse. Hallelujah. So are you there? All right, let me show you how he entered into the ecosystem. Next verse. This is the first thing he did. When Satan showed up into the garden. Pastor Philip. Have you not? What's supposed to say? We're on course. Okay. All right. He showed up in the garden. The first thing was that he undermined the authority of the husband. Because the husband was there, he undermined his authority and began to engage the woman. That's the first thing he did. He violated the authority of that garden was Adam. You will notice that when God came to demand accountability from all the inhabitants of the garden, it was Adam he called first. The omnipotent God was not by any means ignorant of what had taken place. But you see, it was the authority unto whom he committed the garden that he came to demand accountability from. Adam! When God showed up, it was Adam he addressed first. When Satan showed up, it was the woman he addressed first. Why? Let me tell you something about the woman before. Please forgive me, all the sisters in this place. and the sisters online, forgive me, okay? I need to tell you a little bit about the woman in order for us to understand how the potential of a woman can be adequately harnessed. Okay? All right, come with me quickly. This is not part of my script. I just felt we should digress for a moment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Begin from verse 1. It said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Now, wait in verse 1. Let's analyze it. How many individuals are in this verse? Huh? Three individuals. Now, can you see the alignment, the people, the congregation, they follow Paul because he's the authority that is in their midst. And Paul is not operating in limbo. Paul also draws his own authority from Christ. Do you see that arrangement? Oh, you are not seeing the arrangement. Do you still remember the book of Psalms 100 and... Behold how good and how pleasant it is. What? One? What? No. One what? 133. In Psalms 133, the Bible says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And then he began to illustrate how unity can be achieved among brethren. It takes us into the immortal perspective. Are you there? Now okay. He said it is like the oil. The achievement of unity is like the oil. The oil that flowed from Aaron's head, the oil that flowed through Aaron's beard, the oil that flowed to what? The skirts of his garment. How many parts do we have there? The head, the bed, the skirts of the garment. How many parts do we have in that scripture? How many individuals? Three individuals. So the head is Christ. Because the Bible says that Christ is the head of the church. It is from him that all grace flows. In fact, he is the custodian of the office in the spirit that administers grace. And that's why the Bible says that we need to come boldly unto the throne of grace. Now, the beard talks about leadership. You know, one of the ways you know elders is that this is a sign of age. Get it? Age. So, headship to leadership and then to membership. So, be followers. Be ye members. Membership, headship, Christ, leadership, yeah, membership, skirts of the garments. So the oil that is on Christ, because of that alignment pattern, that oil will be factored on every member. You see? So that when people like the woman with the issue of blood comes, it doesn't need to touch the head to touch oil, doesn't need to touch the beard to touch oil, it can touch the skirts of the garment. You get that? Now, follow me carefully as we try to build the case through 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. But wait. I'm not about to escape from Psalms 133 yet. How many of you came here with cars? Car. You drove a car here. Huh? There are so many cars outside. These hands are not equivalent to the... Alright, so some people came with cars. And then if you open the engine of your car, you see some parts of your engine are cast iron. Some parts of your engine are plastic, rubber, different textures of rubber. And the reason why iron and rubber can partner is because of oil. You have engine oil. You have brake oil. You have gear oil. Help me. automatic power steering oil. Because the last time my power steering oil leaked out, my small Honda car became a gym item. Gym. I was building muscles with my Honda. Hallelujah. The other day they opened the gate and somebody maneuvered the car somehow. We said, no, you see, let the man come out of the car. He said, no, it's not as if he's learning how to drive. The steering oil, the steering oil is deficient. Are you still with me? All right, so the idea behind brethren dwelling together in unity is tied to the oil. Don't ever forget that. And what preserves the oil in the corporate environment is alignment. The beard must be in alignment with the head so that it can flow down the beard, and the skirts of the garment must be in alignment with the beard so that it will flow down the skirts of the garment. So when Paul says, be ye followers of me, can you see? I align myself to Christ so that I can tap oil. If you are going to tap the oil, you will need to align yourself to me. You get that? You see the... I'm trying to paint a picture in your mind. Did you get that picture in your mind? It's only when you have gotten that picture in your mind we can proceed. All right. I think you got it now. So let's move to verse 2. Now, I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I have delivered them unto you. So he's talking about ordinances. You know, when you are reading the book of the epistles, the books of the epistles, if you are reading them, you must understand what we call the stem of the scripture. Or let me not be too technical. You must understand where the burden on the apostle's heart is. There is a verse in the entire assortment of verses that carries the burden that is upon the heart of the apostle. Right? So if you are diligent, you'll be able to find that verse. That verse is the key to understanding that chapter. If you are not aligned with the understanding of that verse, your interpretation of that chapter is going to be erroneous. Are you still with me? In the case of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the verse that holds the key to interpreting that entire chapter is verse number 3. He gives us something that looks like a quadratic equation. Those of you that are friends of mathematics, there is an equation here that we'll need to resolve in order for us to be able to interpret other verses accurately. He said, but I would have you know. It means that the brethren do not know this bit. Huh? We don't know it. So he's trying to tell us, he's trying to bring us education. I will have you know that the head of every man is Christ. You know, you still remember the arrangement in verse 1. Follow me as I follow Christ. The reason why I follow Christ, following Christ, is because Christ is my authority. Christ is my government. Christ exercises headship over me. You get that? The reason why I'm an authority in the body of Christ is because Christ exercises headship over me and he releases the oil. And the oil is not meant for me. The oil is meant for the body. So if the body acknowledges me in the identity that Christ has made me, the oil that is upon me will flow in their lives. Do you know that there are people that the anointing that I have cannot bless? I went somewhere and I was the youngest preacher on the poster. So when I showed up, they despised me. The congregation was a congregation of professionals, and they were all older than I was, so they despised me. They were wondering what I came with. You know, there were professors in the assembly. There were captains in the banking world. There were all kinds of guys there. And because my flight was late, I had a late flight. I was delayed in the airport for 2 hours. So I was dressed like this. The intention was to come from the airport, go change into the kind of garment that would make them recognize me. But all of that, I couldn't do anymore. So I showed up in the place just like this. They say, God. So I could feel it like a spear piercing into my heart that these guys don't even want me around. So I said, all right. I'm not here because I wanted to be here. It's the reverend that brought me here. But okay, this is what I have. So I now started teaching. And then when they now loved my teaching, I stopped. I cut it. I say, this is how much we can. You will not believe the line that came for counseling that day, the next day, but let's not go there. Paul is saying that I have government over me. I have headship over me. And the one that exercises headship over me is Christ. And because Christ exercises headship over me, I can exercise headship over the people that he has sent me to. Do you see the chain? At any point in time when my alignment with Christ is distorted, people will start finding it difficult to submit to me. If it is easy for people to submit to me, and indeed every week, and I'm not lying to you, every week, pastors come from all over Nigeria, African nations to submit. And that is evidence to the fact that I am yielded to Christ. And that's why that's happening. Because I'm not in control of people coming to submit to me. Am I in control of that? Not in control of that. So, and when they come, you know my commitment to righteousness. That's the first thing I will sound. So, it's very difficult when I tell you this is how we follow Jesus. Alright? And they are not running away. They are still coming. Still coming. It is because of alignment to the authority of Christ. You get that? The day I begin to violate the authority of Christ, I don't need to tell people. They will not feel the connection in their hearts to come anymore. But you know what? I'm not planning that day will come in my lifetime. Okay. Now, this man is saying, I will have you know that the head of every man is trying to show us the spiritual nature of a family alignment. In the body of Christ, the head of every man is who? So the one that exercises headship over the man is. Okay, because you are not following. You know this is a digression. It's not actually the lecture. This is a digression. So if I say that you are drowning, you'll say, okay, me too, I will drown. And we'll close. The head of every man, the one that exercises headship over the man, the one that restrains the man, the one that regulates him. Just like my brother came and my brother said, in African culture, we want to exercise authority. Glory. You see, the thing about the arrangement in Christ is that we don't just exercise authority. Our authority, our capacity, the way we operate is managed by another authority. Because if you are going to exercise authority at will without any regulator over your life, you are going to be wicked and you think that people should pay you money for being wicked. Pay you salary for being wicked. So Paul says, this is the reality. I want you guys to know this. Many of you don't. The head of every one of you men is so the extent to which you align to Christ's authority will be the extent to which you will see your wife submitting to your own authority. Just in case you have a problem. Maybe your wife is refusing to submit. Don't command submission. If you are in alignment with God and your wife is rebellious, Jesus himself will deal with her. Give her lessons that she will never forget in her life. The idea there is you labor to be where? In alignment. So I see so many men not to labor into being in alignment with Jesus Christ. They operate by that pseudo understanding of the fact that there is authority already bestowed. You see, this scripture is revealing to you the source of that authority. Authority is something that is real in the spirit realm. Authority is not something that you can understand from the realm of men. The realm of men doesn't have authority. Authority comes from where? The realm of God. Just in case you see that we have a governor in our city. The Bible says it is God in heaven who is the authority that gave that man the opportunity to sit in that capacity. There is no authority on earth that is existing and has not been uprooted that God did not allow to exist. Because the true authority is the authority in the realm of the spirit. And the authority among men is such authority that God permits. Because God's hand is upon it, that's why God is saying we should submit to civic authority. Civil authority. Do you understand that? His hand is behind it somehow. It might even be a monster that is on the throne. But the whole idea of authority comes from God. It is because of that that we can close our eyes and just flow with what a monster is asking us to do, especially if it doesn't violate the laws of God. If it violates the laws of God and you want me to do it, I will not do it. I'll be the first to go to prison. First. Hey. And I tell you, being in prison will be fun. Jesus. Because I'm sure of salvation. Okay, when we were going to Israel, they made me a pastor of my boss. That is, you need to be a reverend, a colored gentleman, or a reverend father for you to be the boss pastor. So they made me boss pastor. They called me. I was in Lagos. They called me and said, you have been approved to go to Israel. I said, are you sure of this? I said, yes. Give me a letter. They sent me a letter. I took it to my manager. I said, release me. The state of my missions have released me to go to Israel. Because it was government. They didn't want me to go, but they couldn't do anything about it. So I came back from Lagos to Makurdi, and they gave us orientation and made me a boss. So I was in charge of 50 people for 14 days. Guess what happened? In 14 days, demons, we casted out demons from people. Oh. Guess what happened? In 14 days, in the night, when people go to sleep, the ones that cannot speak in tongues, we take them to a place. Aise koma! That's what you will hear. People were speaking in tongues. Guess what happened? In 14 days, we baptized people that gave their life to Christ at River Jordan and issued them certificates. In 14 days. By the time we were coming home, people that were gangsters in our midst. This was how they entered the bus. They enter like this. Israel then to walk straight is side like this. Those guys came back home very sober. They came back very sober. And when we landed in Nigeria, they were still calling me pastor. I said, my pastorhood has finished. It's 14 days. Ah, they say finish. It's too short. But that took place. How many days? So if you send me to prison, and I'm likely to be there for more than 14 days, I know what will happen. I've seen, do you understand? I will enjoy it. You will come there and see me praying. If you know Jesus, if you know him, there is no situation that can break you. No situation. No situation that can break you. Every single person that came back on my bus was born again. Every one of them. When we were now, all kinds of guys were in that place. You know our secret? In the night, we'll go and tear 3 hours prayer in the night. I said, none of these ones will go back. One of those days, we were going to a place to view sights. And then the Holy Ghost came. I said, brethren, we need to pray. They said, this prayer. There's one old man there. They say, he moved with his walking stick. He said, prayer, prayer, this prayer. Where we started praying, that's how demons screamed out of like 5 people, and then we started the deliverance. When the elder saw power, I didn't know it took him so much time like this to turn around. Kosemina itakomina. Haboseko. Igamayato. He came back. He came back and then he started telling the story of how his leg came like that. Long story. This is the person that ran away from prayer. We are doing counseling when we are going to the hotel. Counseling. Counseling. People are saying this was where this spirit. Oh, Jesus. Deliverance. All kinds of demons came up. And those ones, we do them privately so that nobody will manifest in the open. So we had times for deliverance. People spoke in tongues. I mean, the people that their churches don't believe in speaking in tongues, they came back in 14 days. We are not afraid of being anywhere. In the prison, in a bus, in an airport lounge. Hallelujah. Now I saw a man, I was just passing, which airport was that? I forgot. But you heard what evangelist said. We went to Brazil to buy shirts. So we now say, hey, see this crowd, let us do evangelism. So I told him, the prophetic function is on me now. So you interpret for me. So we'll catch somebody and say, the Lord said this, he will interpret. It's true. Because of that, give your life to Christ. The Lord said this. That was how the whole market, people who surrounded us, we now pointed one young man. I began to speak to him. They all said, hey, he can't give his life to Christ. His God is upstairs. His God is in. His God. His deity. He has one small God upstairs. That the God will notice that he's no longer in alignment. Hallelujah. He said the head of every man is what?
Christ.
The source of your authority as a man is that you are submitted to Christ. The moment you are submitted to Christ, he is the one that will make your authority efficacious. So that when your wife rebels against you, because he has made your authority efficacious, judgment will come upon her. And she will know practically that if she decides to violate your authority, evil things. So through that practical experience, she will line up. You get it? Are you there? I will have you know that the head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man. The word head there is headship. And this is the scripture from whence proponents of the holiness movement said it was head tie. I speak in parables. The people that, he that has ears, let him hear what is said. In Jesus' name. So that scripture has nothing to do with head tie. It has everything to do with headship. The headship, the woman's headship is the man. And you must have seen that in the Godhead, the Father had ultimate authority. Huh? That is why Jesus is called our apostle. The word apostle in the Greek is apostolos, which means a sent one. All right? So Jesus reveals that it is his Father that, in order for Jesus to fulfill the work of redemption, he had to take a posture of a man. Is that true? When he took that posture of a man, he operated in the capacity of a man in absolute submission to his Father. So you could see that family tree there, that chain of command. From the Father to Christ, to the man, to the woman, and after the woman, the children. You see, so that the oil of authority is flowing right there, and it is the chain of command. Is not broken. Satan will want to frustrate this chain of command. How I wish I had time to open your eyes to see why he did this was so that the chain of command will be broken. And the moment the chain of command is broken, the serpent enters into your ecosystem. As long as the chain of command is not broken, there is a hedge that is built and Satan cannot penetrate. But the moment the chain of command is broken, terrible things will begin to happen. So I came to tell you, those older Christians that are in our midst, all right, it was part of the SU movement, and there were hair tie issues. There is no such commandment from the Lord. Give me verse 16, because some older Christians are challenging me now. I can see. 16. The contention here is about the matter you raise. He said, if any man seem to be contentious on that matter, he said, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. So the issue that is raised in this scripture is the issue of headship, authority, and alignment. And you can see that from the first verse that was used in the scripture. Are you with me? As long as the chain of command is not broken, if Satan makes an attempt to come into our space, we'll have enough authority to cast him out. How many of you see? You have seen it. Many times we are fellowshipping like this and we'll track the fact that the spirit of death wants to take somebody. Have you been in the fellowship? And then we'll cast it out. The reason why we can do that is because our authority is valid in the spirit. We are truly receiving oil from Christ. That is why we have authority to deal with darkness. In your family, you'll be able to deal with darkness as long as the chain of command is not broken. How I wish I still had time. When you see a woman growing in anointing, it is because she has not broken the chain of command. When you see a woman that has broken the chain of command, she becomes dry and vulnerable. And Satan can pluck her out. Men must operate from a covered position that is under Christ. Women, the difference between a man's cover and a woman's cover is that a man's cover is invincible. But a woman's cover is. And I'm going to tell you the implication. And you know, when I started, I apologized to all the women first. So that you will not come to my office after this lecture. Hallelujah. I will show you what happens when everyone is covered. What happens to Satan? He might come in the body of a serpent and he's subtle, trying to gain entrance, but he'll be exposed. That body will not be sufficient to hide him. He will be caught in the tracks and he will be exposed. The last time the devil took advantage of you in your family will be the last time ever. In the name of Jesus Christ. When we function according to this design of authority, Satan, we have no hold on us. Just in case you want to do further reading, because the next lecture I won't come on this topic again. The fast is about to end. So I need to tell us the weapons of our warfare and how to fight. And we need to use like 2 days to fight, real fight. You will see in those 2 days how we will collide with some things. In 14 days, in 7 days, you will see results. Sakuria Mahadeli. You know, some of us began to preach from the villages, not from the city where you learn how to wear suits. It took me 2 years. I have witnesses for me to hold the mic like this. Because I'll be preaching and I'll forget. Because in the village we were not using. You are not with me. You are not. In the village there was no. We casted out evil spirits without mic. So my training is from the rural places. So I can tell you about darkness, how it comes. Herbalists that wield demonic power. What it takes to tame them. Make them silent. Tell them, I have come. Your trade can no longer prosper here. It's only a man that is covered that can make such claims. He's in alignment with the invisible throne. And because of that, he has authority by reason of the oil that that throne has bestowed on him. He can challenge the devil. We went for mission somewhere and they wrote me a letter in blood. That if you insist in doing this crusade, all of our legions will come out to your field and there will be a fight. Now, because they wrote me the letter in blood, I didn't know how to reply. There was no address. Witches wrote me. So the only way to reply was to come for the crusade. So we came armed, looking for what we die. I preached the gospel and I gave an altar call. Come on, that was the harvest we had was 520 individuals. And you know, when you finish preaching as an evangelist and people come to the altar to give their life to Christ, is it not to lead them in the sinner prayer? Before I could start the sinner prayer, I just heard the mic and I said, fire. I don't know where that fire came from. 250 people in that number began to manifest. We didn't lead them to Christ again. We started, I gave the other call by 8 o'clock. We did deliverance till 1 a.m. in the night. People were vomiting. Those witches actually came. But the humiliation and the camera... Oh, you are not following. That was the day when I was preaching. The first entertainment that day was, as I was preaching, the mad woman of that locality staggered into the crusade ground. She entered like this. The moment, and she said, violent mad. So the moment the usher saw her, they ran away. I was the only one with mic. And Jesus. And that day I wore my white suit. So I was different from everybody. I was visible, conspicuous. The mad woman came straight to me, not to the ushers, came to her. And guess how she greeted me with a slap? Yeah. And the cameraman was enthusiastic to capture the it was when she gave me that slap, I now recognize that in cartoons, when they slap people like that, they see star. I now understood the stars were. And I was on tape. Then I now asked Jesus, I said, what evil have I done? This is public. I don't know whether Kasa is here. So let me tell you what happened. You know, you gave a testimony about me that I brought 1,000 to you. Let me tell you how it happened. It was in that crusade room. The mad woman, because I had forgotten that money. Do you understand? The mad woman, after she slapped me, she told me, you are owing 1,000. That mad woman. Okay, you are following what I'm saying. Mad woman that you don't know. Me, I don't know. She didn't know when we held that crusade. He gave me what? Slap. And he said, you are owing 1,000. I was looking for a response. So I now told her that even if I'm owing 1,000, it's not you. Is it you I'm owing? My debt is in the family. Not with you. Because of that, I command you, get out of this woman. The woman was lifted from the ground, thrown one corner. She was mad before I came for youth service. She rose up sane. Are you following? After the crusade, I went. That's by the way, okay? After the crusade, I went and asked God, am I on you? He said, yes. That was how he revealed. And that's why I came to you. I came to my leader. I served under him on campus. I brought the 1,000 to him. That this 1,000 that Satan, in his balance sheet, the team is there. Let's go and what? Pay it. That day, we did deliverance till 1 a.m. And one of the people that became sane was a mad woman. She rose up with her senses. Her father is one of the most violent Islamic scholars in this country. This aspect of the story, you will not believe it. The man came and gave us money for that crusade because of her daughter that was mad. That she called, the man called me aside in the darkness. May the Lord give you understanding. The reason why we had that anointing, because we were in alignment with Christ. There's an alignment that must exist in the family before you people are equipped to fight and ward off spirits. I will be singing and dancing and shouting for the rest of eternity. My Father, your baby is singing. I will be singing and dancing and shouting for the rest of eternity. Only you, only you. Only you. Only you are God. Till the end, only you. Till we meet, only you. Only you, you, you. Only you are God. Only you, only you. Only you, only you. Only you. Till we meet, only you.
Till we meet, only you.
Till we meet, only you.
Only you.
Only you.
Only you
are God. Only you, only you.
Only you,
only you.
Dancing and and shout it for the rest of eternity. I will be singing and shouting and dancing for the rest of eternity. Chineke, my daddy, my daddy. For the rest of eternity. Oh yes, only you, only you.
Only you, only you.
Only you, only you.
Only you, only you.
Only you.
Only you.
Only you.
Only you are God.
Till the end, only you.
Till the end, only you.
Till we meet, only you. My daddy, my daddy,
my daddy, my daddy.
Your baby is singing.
Your baby is singing.
I will be singing and dancing and shouting for the rest of eternity. Chineke, your baby is singing.
I
will be singing and shouting and for the rest of eternity. Only you, only you.
Only you, only you.
Only you, only you.
Only you, only you.
Only you,
only you.
Only you, only you are God. Till the end, only you.
Till the end, only you.
Till we meet, only you.
Till we meet, only you.
Only you. War. Maybe you have noticed symptoms of the devil's presence in your family as a wife, as a husband, as a child. All we need to check Satan out is that we are in alignment with the throne of Christ. Only you. Only you are God. Till the end, only you. Till we meet, only you.
Only you.
Only you are God. Till the end, only you.
Till we meet, only you.
Only you. Only you, only you,
only you, only you,
only you,
only you,
only you,
only you,
only you,
only you,
only
you.
You can check him out. Even if he takes the body of a serpent, you can check him out. You can check him out tonight. Gloria de amor. Only you are God. Only you, only you. Only you, only you.
Only you, only you.
Only you. Only you, only you.
Only you,
only you.
Only you, only you.
Only you,
only you.
Only you,
only you.
Only you are God. Till
daddy, my daddy.
My daddy, my daddy.
Can sense the energy of the anointing. Anytime we are in alignment, Satan can't stand what is generated from the throne of grace. In a moment, I want you to utilize it. We want to expel devils. Expel devils. Expel devils. Expel devils. Expel devils.
The Lord can rewrite your story.
He can rewrite your story. Jesus celebranta baboria. Ante bokonde celabi, biato se kabanto. Embrace, embrace, amande. Ia korema, bares, efalema, beriako, selita bantoma. Sovila mile, cabo saman, acaito berato, iso santelia, iso sela boconda. As the devil taking one of your children, turned him into a vagabond, you can call him home tonight. You can call him, you can call him tonight. You can call him back tonight. You can call her back tonight. Oh! Siba Korea Babalato. Yeto Cecil. Mambarato. Piga Bato Sale. Yelos. Kura Mama Mama Masate. Raso Sobeka Laita. Amenda Konde. I am us. Yes, 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 Samalat. Yeah. There's no room for you in our families. There's no room. No room. No room. Yeah. 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 Hey, binayes kopolo embresko pila mababaya panda baboria bakasemi bakasemi aita semi aita sombalato aita kabalanshama asesa koria grande kubala kotamina ai kompreso se rakatala babodo eskopalima arrasetade Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, we have some brethren here that are also participating. This is Sister Esther from Belgium. Yeah? All right, so Sister Esther from Belgium, can you unmute your microphone and give us the feedback you want to give us in 5 seconds, okay? All right, so as a congregation, you want to stretch your hand in that direction. We want to break the power of famine and every manifestation of witchcraft that is rooted in her family, seeking to regulate her life. Can you put a stop to it tonight? You want to put a stop? A stop to it. A stop to it. A stop to it. A stop to it. Hey, Siko Bantomo. Robesia Lambo Seka. Akabaito Samalande. Raskito Benda Ikabalu. Rama Santelia. Yes, Lord. We liberate Esther from the yoke. From the burden. From the burden. In the name of Jesus Christ. Every manipulation linked to your family. We stop it. We stop it. We stop it. We stop it. We stop it tonight. We stop it tonight. That your mighty hand might rest upon your servant. And let the yoke upon her life be destroyed. Destroy. 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 In the name of Jesus. Father, we stretch our hands in the direction of Sister Esther and we put an end to this manipulation of witchcraft in the name of Jesus. Let her enter into times of refreshing, seasons of fruitfulness. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yes? Last one. Huh? This is my friend, Baloyi. Are you in South Africa now or you are back to the U.S.?
I'm in South Africa now.
All right. How many of you remember him? He came for the Festival of Glory Crusade from South Africa with his wife. The congregation is saluting you. Baloyi from Pretoria.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Last night,
the pattern that I've been observing in my life. I've had the fortunes of being employed in good jobs that pays very well. But the problem is that with all the income that I get, it's very easy that I can show for. You know, that this is what I've done. Of course, I've owned big cars, I've owned houses and all that. I've got kids in the U.S., who goes to universities in the U.S., that pay for all those. But I can tell that time again, there's always this pattern that I'll rise and then go down, rise, go down, and it's always this fight. Mm-hmm. So as the prayers were going on yesterday, I was busy meditating on that problem to say that there has to be something that needs to break, you know, during this fasting and prayer, you know, prayer. And as I was thinking about that, and then I started thinking about some of the examples that they were spoken about in your teachings. And all of a sudden, the power of God overwhelmed me. Wow. And hit me so hard.
Wow.
I tried to contain myself to say, I don't need to be shouting, I don't need to be praying. But I couldn't control that. All of a sudden, without effort, I started bursting out in tongues. And my wife was next to me. I think the fire probably jumped on her as well, and she started also praying in tongues. And it went on for a very long time, even after the whole session had finished.
All right, that's a sign that the yoke broke. That's a sign. Yeah, well, you don't need further prayers. All you need is blessings. So can you bless him? Can you bless him? Can you bless him? Can you bless him? That God will orchestrate circumstances and situations to set him above and not beneath. And that the Lord will cause his face to shine. The Lord will equip him in his basket and in his warehouse. In the city and in the field, the Lord will make unto him a feast of fat things. May the Lord increase your greatness and comfort you on every side. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Philip, give me the last person for the night. Elizabeth from Kenya. Elizabeth from Kenya. How are you?
Thank you, sir. Thank you for this privilege to share my feedback. Yesterday, after you finished teaching, and then you say that the...
Okay, we have a network situation here. And I don't think it's from our side, so... Philip, give me someone else. It's a network. We are. The network is frozen. Okay, maybe that's a way of saying, Pastor Dan, you can come back. It's Deola Oduola. All right, so you can speak. The sister from Kenya, we couldn't get what you were saying because you were frozen in the network. All right, so Deola, you can go on.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for this great opportunity. In the U.S., you named this conference, and we're having it in the U.S., sir. So,
pray for us. Pray for us. Satan is trying to attack our coming. Deola, I said Satan is trying to attack our coming to the U.S. So pray. That's what I'm saying. You pray for us, okay? Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right, go on.
Yes, sir. So, praying, I think that this dream just doesn't have come. Even this morning, I still have it.
Okay. So that's a sign that God, oh my God, he's even in your space right now. He's there now as I speak. He's there now. All right, so the yokes are beginning to break. The yokes are beginning to break right now. The yokes are beginning to break right now. The yokes are beginning to break right now. And I see in the spirit, I see three doors. I see three doors in the spirit. Two are closed and one is open. There are two aspects of your life that the devil has shut down. And only one aspect of your life is open as we speak. So the prayer we're going to pray, oh my God, the anointing is here. So the prayers are like prophecies. The other two doors are going to be open. And those aspects of your life that have been influenced by witchcraft and all kinds of stuff, those aspects are popping open tonight. In the name of Jesus. I see a circle of delay that you have been laboring under. Delay. Before things open up for you, it takes so much time. So much time. Yeah, I see that demon of delay. And right now we arrest that spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. We break that yoke in Jesus' mighty name. We command those doors to open up in the name of Jesus. Especially your relationship life, let it open up in the name of Jesus. Let miracles begin to happen around your life in the name of Jesus. The grace of God, the oil of God that beautifies the life of a man, let it descend upon you in Jesus' mighty name. Yes. Yes. All right. So that's how much we can.
Can we celebrate Jesus tonight as we take our seat?
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.